That first reading that we had today is one of the most powerful testimonies of faith in all of Scripture. We read just a portion of the story in our first reading. It actually takes up the entire seventh chapter of the second book of Maccabees. If you have some time this week, sit down and read it. It's just an amazing witness. It tells of the great witness that those seven brothers gave along with their mother as they offered their lives and died as martyrs to the Jewish faith. You see, at that time in 2nd century BC, Palestine, the Greeks had conquered Israel, and they sought to destroy the Jewish faith. One of the things that they did was to order any Jews that resisted the destruction of the faith to eat pork in disobedience to God's law. In this just amazing scripture, these seven brothers chose to be tortured and to be killed rather than to disobey God's law. One by one, starting with the oldest and working down to the youngest, each in turn watched along with their mother as their older brothers suffered great agonies. All the while, they encouraged one another to stay strong in their faith. When it was their time, each brother refused to bend. Instead, they accepted those tortures and death rather than violate their conscience. As they suffered, they even mocked their torturers, telling them that what you take from me, whether it be my limbs, whether it be my life, God's going to just give it back to me, and then some. What an amazing faith. It would have been so easy just to say, you know, it's just a little pork. God will forgive me. But they didn't. They didn't give in. And because they didn't give in, they served as a tremendous inspiration to their brothers and sisters in 2nd century BC Israel. And because they didn't give in, they still serve as a great inspiration to us today, that inspiration of faith. And what amazing faith it was. You know, I can only imagine the horror of their situation. And I ask myself, if I were in that situation, would I have had the courage to do as they did? I would hope so, but I'm not sure. What gave those seven brothers and their mother the strength to persevere in the faith of such evil? It was their certain faith, their faith that this life is not the end, that this life is just a preparation for a greater life that God wants for us to come. It's their faith that God would raise them up and in the end return to them far more than what those Greeks could take away from them in 2nd century BC Palestine. But in the world today, many people don't believe in the resurrection, let alone have that kind of certain faith that would give them the strength to sacrifice their very life. And many of the attitudes that you encounter in our society, whether it be online, on TV, in various entertainment, are based on this lack of belief. You know, we're told to take care of yourself, live for today, go have fun. Sometimes, even as Christians, it's easy for these attitudes to rub off on us. Even though we may profess a belief in the resurrection, sometimes we live as if we don't, right? And I'm guilty of that too. We focus on things of this world. We focus on acquiring stuff, watching videos on social media and mindless entertainment. You know, divisive politics where we hate those that we disagree with. Needless worry and anxiety. Jesus encountered similar attitudes in the gospel when he was approached by the Sadducees. You see, the Sadducees were a religious sect of Judaism in Jesus' time. And the Sadducees only accepted the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And because of this, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They believed that once you were dead, you were dead, and that was the end. That's why they were sad, you see. And because they didn't believe in the resurrection, they had that same kind of attitude that we see in the world today. They said, you know, if this is all there is, I better get mine now. So the Sadducees, in the time when the Greeks had conquered Israel, they compromised and cooperated with the Greeks. And in Jesus' time, when the Romans were in power, they cooperated with the Romans. And because of that, they got a lot of wealth, right? They got a lot of power and prestige. So these Sadducees in our gospel are trying to trap Jesus with a hypothetical story about a woman who successively marries seven brothers who all die, leaving her childless. But Jesus corrects them, arguing for the resurrection by quoting Exodus, one of the only five books that they accepted. He points out that in the story of Moses, the burning bush, God is called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who had all died many years before Moses. So using this example, Jesus tells the Sadducees that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. God is the God of the living. God wants us to be fully alive. God wants us to live lives of joy. But the counterintuitive thing is that in order to receive that full life, and in order to receive a life of joy that God wants us to have, we must lay down our lives for others. Now, we probably won't be called to bloody martyrdom like those seven brothers in the book of Maccabees. I certainly hope not. But God does want us to still lay down our life in sacrificial love. Maybe in a way that might in some respects be harder, because God wants us to lay down our life one day at a time. And that's a hard way to do it. In this, we experience the beginnings of that joy that God wants for us in heaven. Because you see, when we're not focused on ourselves and our own problems, but when we're focused on others around us and how we can love them, that's when we experience that joy that God wants for us in heaven, even beginning here on earth. So what do you believe? Do you believe like Jesus in the resurrection? If so, do you live accordingly, laying down your life for those who God has put into your life? It is through God's call for our lives that God wants us to learn how to love. Each of our vocations is intended to allow us to practice that love, to ask forgiveness when we fail, and to keep on trying, and to slowly let God teach us how to love better and better each day, to love more and more sacrificially as he loves. You know, we see that joy when we embrace our vocation. You know, I see that joy in Father Shedda, right? As he embraces his vocation as a priest and leads us in sacramental worship so that we can receive the sacraments of reconciliation before Mass, and we can receive that sacrament of the Holy Eucharist here at Mass. I see that joy in my oldest daughter, Sister Louis Marie, who as the novice mistress for her community of Dominican sisters, each day gives her life in loving service to about 20 young women as they discern whether they're called to live in that community for the rest of their lives. I experience that joy in the gift of marriage with my wife, Mary. Each day we're called to lay down our life in service to each other, to be patient, to be giving, to listen. Are we always perfect at it? I certainly am not. Mary could tell you. After Mass, ask her. She'll tell you all the places that I fall down. But when we fall, that's when we're invited to learn to ask for forgiveness and to forgive one another. We always ask God in prayer for the grace to grow in that sacrificial love and to learn how to love better. What a beautiful gift that gift of marriage is. Also, as parents, Mary and I are called to love our children unconditionally. And sometimes unconditional love is what it takes. Sharing God's life and his joy with them. We're called to be firm when firmness is needed, We're called to bring our children to God, who's the best gift that we can possibly give them. We're called to be understanding when understanding is needed. And sometimes we're just called to be there when that's really all our children need from us. Again, we're far from perfect, but it's through our failure and through asking for God's grace that we learn to love better. In his unique vocation for each of us, God calls us to give our lives completely to others. He calls us to do this so that we might learn the joy of loving sacrificially and prepare our hearts for that resurrection in heaven, which is the ultimate end that he wants for each and every one of us. So who has God put into your life? And how is God calling you today to lay down your life each day sacrificially in love for them?